Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
Thank you for joining us today. God's blessings on your worship.
I'd like to welcome you to our Wednesday midweek, where tonight we will be talking about the healing hand of the Lord. For those of you who have not met me yet, my name is Pastor Jim Dontremont. I am the pastor over at Olive Branch over in Frogtown, and I am also the pastor over at St. Salvatore in Venedig. We've been here for about 8 months, and I just went through my second tornado in a week. Thank you for the warm welcome. I invite you to please rise. We open in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God, our Heavenly Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done,
and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquities.
Who heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit.
Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies you with good.
So that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his steadfast love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west,
so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Our first reading comes from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He could cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Israel said, "Go now." The king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hands over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abban and the Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for proof to them. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is laying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illness and bore our diseases. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to please be seated. Peace and mercy be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's been just a little over 5 years now. It's been just over 5 years since we were told that we had to wear masks. It's been 5 years since we were told to go home, to stop going to school, to stop going to work, to stay indoors and to keep from having contact with people outside of our immediate families. 5 years ago, stores closed, restaurants closed, to the great joy of the kids, the schools closed, many streets were empty, and a great number of people were very, very afraid. Do you remember when we were told that a cough or a sneeze could infect others and even possibly kill them? Do you remember when people who might have a cold or allergies were shunned or avoided? Do you remember how, if you were sick, they tried to keep you from seeing your family and friends, and how they locked some people away, and how for some, the only way to visit them was to look at them through plate glass? We were told to treat friends and strangers as if they were unclean. We are told to avoid them as if our very survival depended on it. And so we stopped shaking hands. We stopped hugging. We scrubbed ourselves if we came back into contact with another. And it felt like we were constantly bathing ourselves in that oil or that alcohol gel that they kept passing out. We were afraid. We were afraid that we might get sick. We are afraid that we might spread it to someone we loved. We are afraid that we too might become unclean. Throughout the scriptures, we see the fate of those who are considered unclean. They have to leave their home and they have to leave their family. They have to leave their work and their towns. They're kept from the places of worship, and they're not allowed to have contact with others, unless, of course, those others are also unclean. Most of the time, the unclean people in the scriptures, the ones we hear about, they're lepers. They live alone or in small leper communities out in the wilderness. Their friends or families would drop off food or clothing so they could survive, and if they came across members of the general public, they were to keep their distance. They were to go to the side of the road, and they were to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" People lived in fear of contracting leprosy. The effects of this disease were horrible, and the results were most often fatal. Whatever could be done to avoid it was seen as necessary and just, even if it kept the poor souls condemned to a life of loneliness and being ostracized, even if it meant keeping them from being around their loved ones. And if someone were to touch a leper, or if someone was to be touched by a leper, they would have to isolate themselves. And then they would have to bathe and be inspected by a rabbi or a priest. They'd have to prove that they had not been infected. They would have to prove that they were not unclean. After all, that was the law. "Unclean, unclean," they would call out. And the people who heard these cries would avoid these poor, miserable sinners. That's right, sinners. After all, they figured that they must have sinned against God to be stricken with such a horrible blow. They must have done something awful, and this must be the judgment of God. So the people kept their distance. They didn't want to be associated with these sinners, and they did not want to get infected themselves. They must stop the spread of this dread disease, and they didn't want to risk being put into isolation themselves. In our gospel reading today, Jesus comes across the leper who asks him if he is willing to heal him. Would Jesus be willing to have him made clean? And in his mercy, Jesus reaches out and he touches this man. Jesus doesn't hesitate. He's not concerned about this man being unclean. No, Jesus reaches out and touches him and says, "Be clean." And with his word and with his touch, Jesus frees this man from the bondage of his affliction. Jesus restores this man to his community, to his family, and to his synagogue. And in a very real way, with his word and with his touch, Jesus restores this man to life. But what about Jesus? Shouldn't Jesus be concerned? Isn't he now unclean? What would others think? What would others do? What would others say? Jesus isn't concerned about it. Jesus, the Son of God, doesn't keep himself away from those who need him. No matter how unclean, no manner of disease, no manner of condition, none of it will stop the grace and mercy of the Lord. For Jesus, there is no person who is untouchable. There is no person who's unapproachable. There is no person who is unreachable. Jesus doesn't stay away from those whom we might keep at arm's length. He reaches out and he touches the untouchable. He relieves the sick and the outcast, and he brings God's healing love to the broken and to the sinner. Jesus has compassion for those who are afflicted by the brokenness of this world. His desire is to heal and to redeem those who call on his name. His desire is to gather us and present us as clean and unblemished before God, our Heavenly Father. Throughout the scriptures, we see the hand of the Lord showing his compassion to those who we might otherwise dismiss. He takes our illnesses. He takes our hurts and our sorrows. He takes our sin and our disobedience. He takes them from us, and he puts them on himself, and he leaves us whole. As it's written in the book of Isaiah, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus has come to us. He has come to the sick and the afflicted. He's come to the sinner and to the unclean. He's come to the one who wanders and loses his way. He comes, he touches, and he takes our sins so that we no longer have to bear them. He takes our brokenness. He takes our shame and guilt, and he washes us clean so that we can stand before the Father. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus has come to us as one of us. He's gone to the cross and to the grave, bearing our sins, bearing our infirmities, and bearing our title of unclean. But that grave couldn't hold him. And today he sits at the right hand of the Father, claiming us as his own. Jesus does this in love and out of love for us, so that we may be restored to the world of the living now, and so that we may be restored to God our Heavenly Father and inherit the promise of eternal life and the new creation through him forever. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding be yours now and forever. Amen. I invite you to please rise.
Thank you.
I invite you to please rise for prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustained us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the lives of all the faithful, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Send the light of your truth into all the earth and raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptisms and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service that they may be witnesses to your love throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow, sickness, or adversity. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Unclean, unclean. That is our cry. We are sinful. We don't deserve to be with the Father. And yet Jesus comes and he touches us. Jesus comes and takes our sin away from us. As the psalm said tonight, he casts our sin as far away from us as the east is from the west. And if you go east, you'll never go west. If you go west, you'll never go east. It is gone. All because of the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Service is ended. Go forth in peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week.